Well, to God be the glory for all the things he has done. Can anybody testify that the Lord has done great Hallelujah. Things in your yes, life? We want to take this time to welcome you to the live broadcast of the Nazarene Baptist Church of Evansville, Indiana, where our pastor is Reverend Larry A. Rasko, Sr. We're so glad that you've tuned in this morning, and we pray that you're blessed by worship. Pray that you're blessed by the preaching of this great gospel. We come for no other reason than to lift up the name of Jesus. We come to give him glory. We come to give him honor and all the praise that he deserves. And this song says right here, just wanna praise you forever and ever and ever for all you've done for me. Oh, blessings and glory and honor, they all belong to you. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing me. Sing it, Shalante. Just want to praise you.
I just want to praise you. Forever,
yeah,
and ever, for all
you've done
for me.
Hallelujah.
Blessings and glory,
yeah,
and honor, they all belong to you.
Come on, tell them thank you. Everybody right where you are, say, just want to praise you.
Just want to praise
Help
you.
Help me say, forever.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
I tell him, for all. Come on, say forever.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever. Hey,
for all you've done. All you've done.
Done.
For me. Oh, blessings and glory.
And glory.
And honor.
And honor.
Hallelujah. It all say, for blessing me.
For blessing me.
Just wanna love you.
Just wanna love you.
Forever.
Forever.
Hey. Forever and ever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
For all you've done. Cause you've done great things.
You've done.
I said, you've done great things.
They all belong to you.
Anybody feel like praising him today? Does anybody owe him a praise today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you the highest praise. We give you all the glory and honor. Blessings and glory. Honor and majesty. It all belongs to you. And we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's say it one more time, everybody. Just want to praise you.
Just want to praise you.
Forever.
Forever.
Come on, say and ever.
And ever.
And ever.
And ever.
For all you've
for
done.
For all.
You've done.
You've done.
For me.
For me.
Come on and help us say, thank you, Jesus.
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 Because you've done great things.
Thank you, Jesus.
You keep on opening doors.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you keep on making ways.
Thank you, Jesus.
You keep on bringing me out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Keep on healing my body.
Thank you, Jesus.
Keep on working on my mind. Is there anybody that has a thank you, Jesus, in your spirit today?
Yes, Lord God. Yes.
We've got so much to be thankful for. God, we bless your name today. You are a great God, and you're worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship. We consider your greatness. We consider how awesome you are. We consider all the ways you've made and all the doors you've opened. God, when we consider all the times you've delivered us, you've brought us out of things we've gotten ourselves into. God, when we consider where we used to be and where you've brought us to, when we consider all the many wonderful things you've done for us, I can't help but worship you. Can't help but praise your name. For you are great. And you're greatly to be praised. And we honor your majesty today, your strength and your power. We honor you for being the God that you are. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory honor and power to the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty. Yes, the Lord our God. Anybody know he is omnipotent? The Lord our God. He is wonderful. Help me say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Salvation
and
yes.
Glory.
Honor and power.
Honor and power unto the Lord our God.
Sound real good. Let's say it again. Come on, join us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Salvation.
Salvation and glory.
Honor and power.
Honor and power unto the yes. Lord our God.
For the Lord our God is omnipotent. Yes, the Lord our God. He is omnipotent. Yes, he is. The Lord our God, he is wonderful. For the Lord.
For the Lord our God is mighty.
Yes, the Lord.
Yes, the Lord our God is omnipotent.
The Lord our God.
The Lord our God.
Anybody know he's wonderful?
He is wonderful.
Let's say that one more time. For the Lord.
For the Lord our God is mighty.
Yes, the Lord.
Yes, the Lord our God is omnipotent.
The Lord our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Nobody like you, God. worship him, everybody, right where you are, even if you're in your living room, in your kitchen, maybe even in your bedroom, you can still worship him. Come on, help us worship him. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is everything. And we worship him. We worship you, oh God, because there's nobody like you, no, 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 no. We can search all over, still can't find nobody like you, Lord. We can search far and wide, and we still won't find anybody like you, Lord, because you are great. You are our King, and you sit high upon the throne, and you shall reign forever and ever and ever. Minister Langley is going to come and share scripture and prayer with us as we move forward in our worship.
God is good. Church family, our scripture today is found in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it so ever severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is once born again a few of your children are calling upon that most precious and wise name. We thank you for waking us up this morning and letting us wake up in our right mind so that we can worship you in spirit and truth. When we sat down and think about what you brought us through this week, we can't help but praise you, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we ask that you let you stir up your spirit inside of us, Lord, to remind us that we can keep on keeping on. No matter what this COVID is doing, no matter what the politicians are saying, let us remind us, Lord, that when we first fell in love, when you called us by name and called and said, I want you to be my son, my daughter. Now, Heavenly Father, stir up the gift of all the men who are going to share your word this morning, Lord. Help us to give us a little giddy up in our step. Bless the man who's going to bless us this morning. I'm on tiptoe to anticipation, Lord, because I know a word come from you. When I hear a word from you, I can't help but shout and thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Now, Heavenly Father, you know what we stand in need of. Those in the hospital, those behind prison walls, those who are fighting on the front lines. Heavenly Father, I ask that you step right there. Stir up the gift. Let them know that you're with them, that you are protecting them, and that they are your child. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask these in your marvelous Son, Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Again, we greet you all in the name of Jesus. Good morning to you, you, and you. Again, we are so excited about our Christ, and we're excited even about this opportunity to worship with you this morning. We are so thankful to God that Pastor Wakefield is with us today. He's going to come and share the word of God with us, and I know you all are excited as well about him being here with us. And before he comes, Jordan is going to come and share a song with us, and we're so glad to see you this morning, Jordan. And so after he finishes, I pray that you all will receive Pastor Wakefield. Pray that God will give us ears to hear and hearts to receive everything that he has to say to us through the man of God. So let's receive Jordan Brown, and then Pastor Wakefield will come. Amen.
In my despair, to show me you would never leave me there. You claim because I was made for so much more. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Though heavy was the weight of my mistakes, you carried me and refused to let me sink. Under the pressure, you meant for me to soar. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more. Still worth fighting for. Now I'm moving by faith and not by sight towards victory. By the power of your might, God straightened up my path. He's opening every door. I am your child, and I'm worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me, and nothing can separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for. And that's why I'm pressing towards the mark, because the calling on my life is worth fighting for. And I'll keep my mind stayed on you, Jesus, because the peace it brings is worth fighting for. I'll be faithful to God's plan for my life, because his plan for me is worth fighting for. Though this world is not my home, but your kingdom here is worth fighting for. I got a mansion over in glory, and my new home is worth fighting for. Till I see it, I'll shout hallelujah here, 'cause my praise is worth fighting for. Hallelujah. 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 Life with you, God, is worth fighting for. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard all you have planned for me. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. Separate me from your love when there's so much more still worth fighting for.
The church. church ought to say praise the Lord if you know that there's so much more to worth that's worth fighting for. We do know that the Lord fought for us. We know that he went through a whole lot in order to secure our salvation, and we are eternally grateful for that. We are thankful for the Nazarene Baptist Church praise team and for leading us into the very presence of God. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it is the presence of the Lord. We thank you for your ministry. We thank God for the opportunity to be with you on this morning in the absence of our pastor, who is traveling to South Carolina to be with his youngest daughter as she prepares to give birth on tomorrow. So we are praying for Simone and her family. We're praying for Pastor Rascal and Sister Trudy in their absence. I thank God for his goodness and his graciousness unto me and for providing me an opportunity to share with the people of God via this virtual worship experience. We live in an unprecedented time. We live in a bizarre day, but God is still God, and we're so thankful that he can transform our living rooms, our bedrooms, our kitchen, our basement, our attic, wherever you might be. He can transform that place and that location into a sanctuary. And we're thankful unto him for that. I want you to bow your heads in prayer with me for just a moment. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We honor you. We praise you here and now. We praise you in this place. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would give us preaching power and that we would not preach to impress anybody. But, Lord, we pray that our heart's desire would be to impact people with this great gospel. Lord, we know that your gospel is transformative. And so I pray that you would give me the ability to articulate your truth unto your people. And yes, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, so that the seed of your word would fall on good ground and produce the fruit that you desire, so that others who are watching us will see that fruit and then enter into a relationship with the giver of that seed, and also just live in a way to honor you. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus the Christ. Let the people of God say amen. We're going to take a look at the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to look at chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I'm going to actually read it from two translations. We're going to read it from the New Living Translation first, and then I'll read it from the King James Version. That's Ecclesiastes, verses 8 and 9 of chapter 1. The New Living Translation reads like this: "Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new." In the King James Version, it reads, "All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied without seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." I want us to be prayerful on the subject: is life worth living? Is life worth living? We thank God for Brother Jordan, who already let us know that it's worth fighting for. But there comes times in your life and in my life when we ask the question, is life worth the living? I was at a stage and a phase in my life, I called it the tween years. I was leaving my teen years and moving into young adulthood, and I had asked myself this question: is life worth living? Because at that point in time, 19, 20 years old, I had varied experiences, and I remember my mother and father had gone through a divorce, and that impacted not only them, but their children, me and my three younger siblings. It impacted all of us, and it financially actually ruined us for years. And I began to wonder if we were ever going to be able to recover, if we could recover from that experience, and if life was truly worth the living. When I thought about it, I thought about the challenges, I thought about the difficulties that I was experiencing, and it just seemed as if there was no end, and therefore I wondered, is life worth the living? But then I also found out that I wasn't the only one that asked that question. That's why we had Minister Langley to read 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. And as he was reading that to us, it was about the prophet Elijah. And when you take a look at the life of Elijah, he had just come off of this amazing victory that he had experienced in 1 Kings chapter 18, only to discover in 1 Kings chapter 19 that there were some people who were angry with him. It was Jezebel and Ahab, and Jezebel had promised to kill the prophet Elijah. Fear set in his heart, it says, Elijah took off running, and after he took off running, he left his counterpart behind, and he found himself under a solitary broom tree, and he said these words, "It is enough." He had become frustrated with life, he had become frustrated with ministry, and he just didn't feel like it was worth living for, and it definitely wasn't worth fighting for. So then he requested that the Lord would simply take his life. But thank God that God did not take his life, and that Elijah had a change of heart, and God reassigned him in the work of ministry, and he went on to do great exploits. And so that lets us know that life is worth fighting for. But when you take a look at the book of Ecclesiastes in its entirety, you will notice a particular statement that is made throughout. It is the statement under the sun. Please don't ignore that or neglect to take that in, because when the ecclesiastical writer was writing that and talking about life under the sun, he was looking at life from a human perspective. He wasn't looking at life from a divine perspective and from a perspective that took place over the sun or in the heaven, but he was talking about what took place and what transpires under the sun. That was his outlook. It was a human perspective. How many of you know that your outlook will determine the outcome? Because in verse 2, he said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." In essence, what the writer was saying is that life is meaningless. It's meaningless and it's useless. He had a lot of negative things to say about life. He began to wonder if life was worth living. That's because of his outlook, and his outlook determined his outcome. And when you take a look at his outlook in the preceding verses, it's amazing as to how he defines life, but we have to understand that he is defining a life without God. See, I just said something right there, because too many of us are trying to live life without God, and if you are trying to live life without God, you are not living at all. You are merely existing. And so he talks about a life without God. Listen to him describe it. Even as you take a look at these verses, I encourage you to read chapter 1 in its entirety, but when you take a look at verse 4, beginning there and concluding around verse 7, he talks about how life is monotonous. He says it's very monotonous. Check out verse 4. He says, "One generation passes away and another generation comes." He says it's just monotonous. Then he goes on in verse 5. He says, "The sun rises in the east and then it sets in the west, and it finds its place only to repeat the process," because life is monotonous. When we talk about life being monotonous, we're talking about it being repetitious. We're talking about it being tedious. We're talking about it being tiresome. We're talking about it being dull. We're talking about it being dreary. We're talking about life being boring. He says, "I'm just caught up in a vicious this cycle. That's what life without God is like. Look at verse 6, because then he talks about the wind. He says the wind blows to the south and eventually it turns and it comes back north, but it's just caught up in a vicious cycle because life is monotonous. Then he gives us another analogy in verse 7. He said, take a look at the rivers, because as the rivers are full, the river flows into the sea, and then the sea, it's never full, it's never satisfied, but then the water returns to the river, and the river flows into the sea, and it's just a monotonous and dull routine. Life is a vicious cycle without God. And I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I know some of us, we don't like to admit that even as a Christian, our life can become dull, it can become boring, and it can become monotonous. And so when we look at the ecclesiastical writings, he says that life is monotonous, but even worse, it's meaningless. He says when you look at life as being repetitious and tedious and tiresome and dull and dreary and boring, as if that's not enough, it's meaningless, it's empty, it's futile, it's hollow, it's pointless, it is senseless, it's insignificant. He says it's meaningless. He says, I go through a whole lot of monotonous routines, and it seems as if there's no purpose behind it. I wish I had a praying church in here on this morning. It's meaningless. It's just insignificant. It's just a routine and activity that leads to nothing. I can't find any purpose in my daily routine and in my daily activity. And when I think about the ecclesiastical writer, I think about my own life prior to Christ, and my life definitely felt just like it's being described right here in the text, as being monotonous and boring, but also meaningless, lacking purpose. Isn't it good news to know that God will give your life a sense of purpose? That's why I like to emphasize as much and as often as possible that the God we serve, he does everything on purpose and with purpose. God is never filling space. He's never just filling time. He's not just filling the book, this Bible before us, with meaningless words, but everything that is written in the Word of God is there on purpose and with a purpose. And not only does he do that when it comes to handling his word, but even when it comes to the people of God, we can rejoice over the fact that we are here today. God has placed us here on purpose, and because you are here on purpose, you are here with a purpose. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. But for the person that is trying to live life without God, life is monotonous and life is meaningless, and the activities of the day seem insignificant. As if that's not enough, the ecclesiastical writer says life is monotonous, life is meaningless, but then life is also mysterious. He said life is a mystery. Life is an enigma. Life is a conundrum. It is unexplainable. That's a life without God. We just wonder, what is it to life? And therefore, when you think of it from a human perspective and from a human point of view, you begin to wonder, is life worth the living? Why are we here? What are we here to do? What is going to be the outcome of our experiences? That's a life without God. Now, in order for you to get the rest of what I'm I'm about to say, you need to read all of the book of Ecclesiastes, because in Ecclesiastes, the ecclesiastical writer then talks about a life with God and what it's like and how you can overcome a monotonous life without God, how you can overcome a meaningless life without God, how you can overcome a mystical life that's being lived without God. And so what the ecclesiastical writer encourages us to do as the people of God is to do this one thing, and to do it first and foremost. In other words, he's sharing with us throughout the text that we need to get to know God personally. You got to get to know God personally. This is the thing that blows me away about getting to know God personally. Sometimes we think just because we know about God that we know God, but there's something different about knowing him personally and knowing about God and then knowing him personally. See, some of us think that because we've watched Michael Jordan on TV for several years, and because of the recent documentary that covered many aspects of his life, some of us might claim that we know Michael Jordan, but we really don't know Michael Jordan. We know about his career. We know about segments of his basketball skills and all of that, but we really don't know Michael Jordan. We don't know what his favorite color is. We don't know what his favorite food is. As a matter of fact, I think it's safe for me to say that 99% of us have never been in the same room with Michael Jordan in order to have and to hold a personal and intimate conversation, because we only know about him. We know about him. We know the things that he wants us to know. We know things that others have told about him, but we don't really know him personally and intimately. And you know what I've discovered in the 21st century? That there's a whole lot of people that know about God. They might know something about Scripture, but they still haven't had that personal and authentic encounter with the Christ. Preacher, how do you know that? Because a person that knows about God, they'll be spiritual. But a person that knows something about that knows God intimately and personally, they will become a Christian. And I'm here to tell you that there's something different about being a Christian and being spiritual. A spiritual person believes in a higher power, but I believe in the God of the Bible. That's being a Christian. A spiritual person will take beliefs from the Hinduism and Islam and other religions, and they will come up with their own hybrid of a type of faith. That's being spiritual. But we know that Jesus Christ died to become our Savior. We know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We know that by way of Jesus Christ, he is the only one that gives us access to God the Father. That's being a Christian. There's something different about being a Christian and being spiritual. Some of us have a sense of awareness of God, but then others of us know God intimately and personally. That's why I thank God for our forefathers and our foreparents who endured slavery and segregation and all of those injustices, and they were even in many cases denied an education, but they knew enough about God. They knew God intimately enough and personally enough that they had an experience with God that they could testify and say, you can't make me doubting because I know too much about him. That's when you know him personally. And to know him personally makes sense to me because there's some things that only you can do for yourself. Somebody said it like this, and I would like to repeat it. If you get hungry, nobody nobody can eat for you. You've got to eat for yourself. If you get thirsty, nobody can drink for you. You've got to drink for yourself. If you want to learn, nobody can study for you. You've got to study for yourself. If you get tired, nobody can sleep for you. You've got to sleep for yourself. And if you want to know Jesus, nobody can know Jesus for you. You've got to know him for yourself. You've got to know God personally. But not only do you need to know him personally, we need to live life honestly. And you know what? I find myself saying that more and more in the 21st century. We've got to live life honestly, because in life, there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of problems. And that's what the ecclesiastical writer was emphasizing, that in this life, there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of problems. But as Christians, sometimes we want to deny painful experiences and problems that we have. And so that's why I want to encourage us to live life honestly, because to be a people of faith does not mean that we don't experience pain and that we don't have problems. The Bible never teaches us to deny the pain and to deny the problem. But what the Bible teaches us is that we have a faith that will help us to defy the pain and defy the problem. What does it mean to defy it? It means that we have enough faith that we can confront the pain and confront the problem, and by the Spirit of God, we can even conquer it and overcome it. That's what it means to have faith. We don't deny our painful experience. We don't deny the problems that plague our life, but we proclaim and profess that we are a people of faith, and our faith will help us to confront that pain and problem, and the blood of Jesus Christ will help us to conquer that pain and that problem. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. I feel my help in this place, because we need to live life honestly. You know, when I live life honestly, I'll have to admit that I've had some painful experiences. When I live life honestly, I'll have to admit that there's been problems in my life. But if I live life honestly, I'll also have to admit that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I do know where I would be, and I would not be standing here today, because he helped me to confront my pain and my problem. And I thank God that there's been a whole lot of pains and problems that he's helped me to conquer. Lastly, what the ecclesiastical writer teaches us to do is to serve God faithfully. And that's what I want to encourage the people of God to do on this morning, is to serve God faithfully. When you know him personally, that should help you to serve God faithfully. We ought to be faithful to God, if for no other reason, because he's been faithful to us. Can I get a witness in this place? See, God has been faithful to us, and therefore he deserves our faithfulness. I know that none of you would watch the TV programming that I watch. But there's times when I watch this series on Netflix. It's called Queen of the South. Queen of the South. It's a woman by the name of Teresa Mendoza. She is head of the drug cartel. And she started off in Mexico, and then she went to Texas, and then eventually she ended up in New Orleans, and she's the head of this drug cartel, and she's just trying to take over the South. Thus, we have Queen of the South. She has this one person that is constantly and consistently with her. His name is Pota. Pota is always with her. When life is up, Pota is with her. When life is down, Pota is still right there by her side. They had a unique experience where she saved his life. And because of that, he pledged his loyalty to her. And so when she experiences what they deem as a victory, when they experience prosperity. He celebrates that with her. But then when her enemies come after her in their effort to destroy her and even kill her, Pota doesn't run off and leave her. Pota is right there by her side. He's right there to assist her in fighting off the enemies. He's right there to protect her in times of danger. He has committed his life to saving her life because he is a faithful and loyal friend. All I'm trying to say is if the devil has people like that in his kingdom, then how much more should the kingdom of God have faithful people like that in his kingdom? As a matter of fact, when I think about all of the pain and the problems, the trials and the tribulation that I've been through, I know somebody. His name is Jesus Christ. He has always been right there by my side. When I've experienced a victory, he was there to help me celebrate. But then when I hung my head in sorrow, he was there to lift up my head and to wipe tears out of my weeping eyes, because he is a friend like no other. And when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, that motivates me to want to be a faithful servant unto him. I'm just like the old school saint who said, I won't take anything for my journey now, because I know him personally, but most of all, I know what he has done for me. He has made a way when there appeared to be no way. He has opened doors that others tried to close on me. He's closed doors on others that no man, no woman, nothing, and nobody could ever open. He has been there to protect me from the snares of the enemy. He is the one that led me around the minefield that the enemy had set for me, because the enemy is constantly and consistently setting traps for my destruction. But I'm here not because of my goodness, but because of the goodness of God, because of the graciousness of God, because of his protection, because of his power, and I want to serve him all the days of my life. I don't care what I have to go through. I don't care what life may bring my way. I'm here to serve God until my dying day, because I know that it was Jesus who died for me. It was Jesus who suffered for me. It was Jesus who was buried for me. And it was Jesus who got up with all victory in his hands. And therefore, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves us.
Well, praise the Lord. Can we thank God for his word today? Praise God. And we thank God for the man of God who shared the word with us. To God be the glory for the things he has done. And I hope that you all were blessed by the message. And as Pastor Wakefield was preaching, Brother Dwight, there were so many songs that came to my mind. Songs that I used to hear them sing in the old church. And some of them, Shalante, didn't make sense to me then. But now I've lived a little longer, and I knew about God because my grandmother taught us about God, and my mom and dad taught us about God, but I didn't know him. But I remember there's a song used to sing, there was a line in there that said, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. Y'all remember the song that said, without God, I could do nothing. Without him, I would fail. Without him, my life would be rugged like a ship without a sail. And there's so many others that talks about how we cannot, our life is nothing without him. And then there's another song that says, now my life is worth living because Jesus lives. And can anybody testify that just knowing Jesus has made all the difference in your life? Without him, our life would have no purpose, no meaning, no direction. But just knowing Jesus will make all the difference in your life. And so we want to take this opportunity to offer Christ to you, you and you. And we don't want to assume that just because you're watching this live broadcast on a Sunday morning that you know Jesus and that you have a relationship with him. And so we want to extend this invitation. You can get to know him today, right now, in a real and a personal kind of way. You can get to know him. And what happened was we had a holy God here and sinful man over here. And we were separated from God. And Jesus came and he bridged the gap between a holy God and a sinful man. And because of what Jesus did, he gave us access to this holy God. We can have a right relationship with this holy God, all because of what Jesus did. And so it is our prayer that if you hear him knocking at the door of your heart, that you will open up and let him come in. And the Bible says he will. He will come in. Yes, and so we're going to pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power that's in your word, God. For we know that there's power even unto salvation in your word. And so, God, we thank you. God, I pray that somebody has received you into their heart today, God. I pray that someone has heard the gospel and have believed, dear God. And God, I pray that they'll even believe it in their hearts and confess it with their mouths. And according to your word, God, they shall be saved. Your word tells us that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, God, we believe your word today. And so, God, if there's someone whose heart is ready, dear God, I pray that you'll come into their hearts and become their God, and Jesus will become their Savior and their Lord. God, I even pray that they have the boldness to let everybody know that they believe you. They believe in the sacrifice that your Son made, dear God, and they believe that one day he's coming back to receive us to himself, God. We thank you and we love you. Again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the man of God who shared the word with us. And God, we just pray that you'll give us the wisdom that we need to apply this word to our lives so that we'll no longer be conformed to the ways and the patterns of this world. But God, we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. It's in Jesus' name we pray with a heart full of thanksgiving. Amen. Well, it is time for the offering. Praise the Lord. I know many of you have already given. Some are giving through Givelify and through PayPal. Many of you even drop your tithe and offering off here at the church. Remember, there is a mail slot right next to the administrative assistant's office. You don't even have to come in the building. You can drop your gifts there. Some are even mailing them in, but we do want to allow this opportunity for you to give, and we have done all possible to make it convenient for everyone to give. And so we thank God for first giving to us so that now we can give back to him our tithe, which we owe, and even an offering to show our gratitude for all the things that he has done. We're going to move forward, and we're going to have our communion celebration. And so if you're home watching and you need to grab your crackers, your juice, or whatever, we will do that. Pastor Wakefield, will you come and lead us in communion?
Jordan, you give me that pen. Thank you. Jesus, you exist.
Okay.
We're so thankful to God to be able to share in this moment and to remember and reflect upon how God has been so good and so gracious unto us through his son, Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would never take this moment and this very minute for granted, but that we would think in terms of the death, the burial, the sacrifice of our Savior, all that he went through, all that he experienced, the giving of his body and the shedding of his precious blood in order to usher in our atonement. So as we have our elements before us, we're going to pray and ask God's blessings upon it and prepare ourselves to commune together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this very moment. We know that it's not accidental, nor is it coincidental, but you brought us here by way of your divine providence so that we could pause and show our gratitude and express our appreciation and to reflect upon the tremendous price that was paid to bring about our soul's salvation. Lord, we thank you for how you have loved us. How you have loved us over the years. We thank you for your sacrifice. So we ask that you would bless these elements as we all now prepare to commune together. This is the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us now commune together. Amen. Amen. At this time, we'll have our benediction by Reverend James Hamler.
Praise God. I do ask that you continue to pray for Pastor and Trudy. They are visiting Simone, who's going to be having a baby tomorrow, I believe. So let's pray for Simone and Cord and their family. I pray traveling grace upon Pastor and Trudy and Amber. And if there are any prayer requests that any of you have, please reach out to us this week so we'll know how to pray for you. Amen. And it is our prayer that God will bless and prosper each of you this week. Pray that God will grant us opportunities to share the love of Christ, that we'll even have an opportunity to be a light in this dark world. Pray that we will proceed in this week with a sound mind and a pure heart. It is our prayer that we will proclaim the love of Jesus Christ, that we will celebrate his grace and his mercy and his favor on this week. Pray that God will prosper you and keep you in good health. Pray that God will continue to shine upon you and shower you with his favor. And we pray that your life will be blessed richly this week. We pray that God blesses you in such a way that everything you put your hands to will prosper and have good success. Amen. And we'll see you all next week, same time, same location next week. God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us today.